This morning is we're a Sunday in between the series that we just did on generosity and the season of Lent. Next Sunday begins the season of Lent. This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and that begins the whole season of Lent. And the reason we do Lent, the same thing we do at Christmas time with the season of Advent, is to prepare ourselves. The Lenten season is intended to be a time that we prepare ourselves for the resurrection and the hope of the resurrection. So I thought it would be good today to just set the stage for this season of Lent and ask you, why do you hope? What brings you hope? I had a conversation the other day with somebody I was working with, and they were expressing how they felt like things were hopeless. They work with teenagers that are struggling with everything from addictions to behaviors, and they work with people who just seem to not care about, they care about their job, but they don't care about the people that they're working with. And they just felt hopeless. And most of you know me, I'm always willing to look for the ray of sunshine in the midst of all that to figure out how that can be transformed to hope. And I reminded that individual of the things that I have seen. I talked about people that I know who are currently mentoring. I talked about programs that were going around corrections, including things that we do as a church. I talked about some of the staff people that I knew that had a deep commitment, not to the job, but to seeing people stabilized and seeing people changed instead of just visiting the system. They weren't like everybody else. And what happened after that is I started reflecting on my conversation and realizing how many of these people are people of faith. Whether they're helping with programs or whether they're staff people that I know who have a deep faith that guards, that guides them in everything that they do, both at work and in their private lives. We don't talk about that much when we're around corrections. They have these kind of compartments in their lives. But it's interesting, they don't give up their faith when they come to the workplace. It's still just as active. And I realize that the reason I have hope is because the church is not dead. And the church, I'm not talking about the empty buildings that we see pop up and the buildings that we see for sale that used to house congregations. I'm talking about us. The church is not dead. The church continues to grow and flourish, and so therefore I have hope. I was in another conversation with a pastor who is struggling with things at his church, watching the church shrink and struggle. And as he watched it shrink and struggle, this pastor also shared with me about his discouragement. I actually kind of like being a bivocational pastor. I didn't think I would. It's busy. I end up with a lot of things that I need to do. But one of the things I like about it is my opportunity to be out in the world doing things and sharing hope beyond just sharing it with a congregation. I told you that Heather had texted me that she was going to try and come. She's one of those people that I have enjoyed getting to know, but who has found, even if it's just a sapling of hope, in her encounter with people around this church. So where do you find hope? Or maybe you don't, and maybe you need to hear others and where they find hope. And listen to Jamie's prayer request. There is hope. I think about all the people that Jennifer's connected with in her family and in her life. She's the one that tells me all the time, there's hope. As we think about Brian leaving our church and the fact that we will be one less person that has been active and engaged in our congregation, but there's hope. So where do you find hope? And that is an open question. Where do you find hope?
I reflect back when, like, I was in the ugly hole that was so ugly and no way out, and God sent a way. And so when I'm struggling and in that hole again, I look back and remind myself when He pulled me up, when in my eyes there was no way out, and that helps me.
John, you'd raised your hand. More than your hand.
I raised this.
I know. He raised his Bible.
Christ said, "Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing His work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe the evidence of miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it." We have promises and we see the evidence of fulfilled promises in God's Word. And if we deal with the reality of that and continue to have that hope in our lives, it's an everyday thing.
Paul.
So the Christian faith is unique in that there is something greater than ourselves. Humanism would say that man is God. And so they are the extent of... But Christianity looks at something that is beyond them and also something that loves them, something that really wants the best for them. And so when I look at my own life and I see where doors have closed, others have opened, and it's not so much what you see right now, but if you look into your past, you realize that God was preparing you for this all along. And the most amazing thing about that to me is, and they're not things that you consciously went out to do because you thought there was a purpose behind it. It was just things that happened to you that later in life you realize, oh, that's why that happened. Because I was being prepared for this. And so One book that really meant a lot to me as I started to recognize this is a book by Ravi Zacharias called The Grand Weaver. He talks about how the person who designs these beautiful rugs is up on top, kind of overlooking everything, and the person that's throwing the shuttle back and forth has no idea what the design is going to look like. They're just doing what they're supposed to be doing. Every time the person says, okay, move this loom this way and this way, now throw the shuttle through. That's all they're asked to do. And Ravi Zacharias says that's basically what we're doing here. We're just asked to do the next thing. We don't have to figure out what the grand scheme of the whole thing is. We just do the next thing. So hope for me comes from this idea that, first of all, I worship something that is infinitely greater than myself, and that loves me on a level that I can't even begin to understand, and ultimately is in control of where I'm going, what I have, who I am. And I don't have to rely on my own abilities or rely on some idol, you know, on a bookshelf somewhere. I can rely on a being that is doing everything they can to make sure that I'm where I need to be. And so hope is, and I also have this hope that if I stray from the path, that same creator will welcome me back into the fold immediately. I'm guaranteed, because Christ has done for me what I could never do for myself, I'm guaranteed redemption. And that means a lot, because when you look at a lot of mental health, and I haven't really done major studies on mental health, I think a lot of mental health issues come from guilt, a feeling of being alone against the world. And you look at Christianity and you have this sense that I'm not alone. I have somebody that really cares about me and walks with me. And I don't have to feel guilty, because Christ has taken all the guilt on my behalf. And so to me, that's a biggest possible hope a person could have. There's no karma involved. It's not like I'm hoping that if I do enough good things that some of the good things will happen my way. I know that if I screw up, there's still good that'll be happening for me. I mean, that's really a pretty major realization in Christian faith, is that you are not your own. And a huge amount of hope involved in that.
So, Matthew chapter 6 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. And there's a whole section there about worry. I mean, and it all sums up in verse 27, can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? That's one thing I always think of. And another thing I think of whenever I start to get stressed out is that old hymn, I cast all my cares upon you.
For me, what's been impactful is going through circumstances that before I went through them, I didn't think I could possibly survive them, and then seeing myself survive them and watching others that I work with every day or in my Al-Anon group who go through things that I think if I went through them, I don't know how I would survive. And I see them surviving. And not only surviving, but being stronger and finding goodness and finding things to be thankful for. And there's a couple in my Al-Anon group who, their 21-year-old son drank himself to death. And it's incredibly impactful for me to see them smiling and laughing and, oh my gosh, you've lost your child and it's the worst thing that could ever happen, and here you are laughing and smiling. How are you doing that? And you know, Al-Anon is a higher power based program, and you know, so it's all pointing back to in our powerlessness, God is not powerless. And it's been impactful for me to see others, to see that power actually come through and carry people through situations.
Prophet Jeremiah says, "You, O Lord, are the hope of Israel. You're our Savior in our times of distress." We've heard that some today. We hope Because God's eternal strength renews every morning. His grace renews every morning. It never runs out. The source of our hope never runs dry. The challenge for us is to trust that, because our hope runs dry. So therefore, there are many times that we project that onto God. If ours does, surely His will. At some point, it will run dry. But it doesn't. God seems to have this endless source, this renewing grace, this strength that we lack. In the midst of our powerlessness, Christ is our power. Luke chapter 24, Luke is walking down the road, or a couple of the disciples are walking down the road after the crucifixion of Jesus. And they don't know that Jesus is walking with them. And Jesus, without them knowing who it is at first, says, "What things are you talking about?" And they replied, "About Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests, our rulers, handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what's more, it's the third day since this took place. And of course, for them, Jesus had promised that he would rise on the third. And they hadn't seen him yet. And when they stop, these people who had hoped, whose hope had run out, Christ reveals himself as he breaks the bread. And their hope was restored. We hope because of the redeeming work of God that continues day in and day out. His mercy continues. But he continues to redeem. No one is too far gone. And God is not too far away. And maybe one of the things we need in our own lives is to set with the stories from the Bible, to set with our Bibles in our hands and read from the psalmists and from the gospels. Read the stories of people who had been in hopelessness and despair. And to hear David proclaim, "Yet I hope in you, even though my enemies surround me, even though I am exhausted and my eyes burn from tears, I hope." Because we can know from our past and from the past that God gives us through Scripture that He is always redeeming us. He is always working. The writer of Ephesians says this in chapter 1 and verse 18. "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which you have been called, the riches of his glorious inheritance for his holy people." Hope is not an attitude. Hope is not just positive thinking. Hope is a calling. It is a calling because we are to live into this hope that God gives us, because we are to be hope for others. We get to share hope with others. At the end of this month, when you have people come in here, we should know that the stories of hope that they are living out have come in part because there have been people that have hoped with them and hoped for them. We have a reason to hope. And as we go through the season of Lent, what I ask us to do is to embrace that, no matter how dark it gets, no matter how difficult it gets, no matter how easy it is right now, to embrace God is our hope. And He pours that into us enough to share. He gives us enough to share. Let's pray. Lord, as we go from this place on this snowy day, in the midst of winter, all around us lies dormant life. But we all know spring will come. May we have that same assurance in your hope. May we have the same hope in you. That no matter how difficult things are, we know that you will redeem. That you will renew your grace. That we truly have enough hope to share. Because you are our endless source of hope. Amen. May we go from here filled with hope.